So it's December 20th at 10:11 p.m. PST? PDT? Whatever it is.
Close.
I hate
West Coast. West Coast.
We're still here.
So far.
So I was thinking about it, and like, on the Jewish calendar, for example, when you can see three stars in the night sky, that's when the next day begins. So when does the Mayan calendar next day begin? Certainly wouldn't be midnight PST.
I've heard some people say like 11:11. that has a lot of symbolism.
Oh yeah, the Bakhtun started at 13 hours, 13 minutes on August 13th, 3113 BC.
Yeah, weird shit like that. Nah, probably not. But, you know, I don't know.
Well, we're still here. I say we celebrate 13 Panther the way we do.
We do.
I can see the gods.
That's nice. Okay.
Oh, that was tasty. So, where are we?
Well, you know, a lot of people are debunking and this and that about the Nibiru and, you know, oh, Earth is lining up with the sun and the black hole. Yeah, they bring up those points, and it's, you know, it is lining up, but it happens a lot. The thing about this particular alignment is it's happening directly on the winter solstice, where our South Pole, which we touched on last episode, or I'm not sure where this episode's going to fall, but...
Published immediately.
Oh, okay.
So to verify the world didn't end.
Yeah. Okay, so it's... In a future episode, we talk about...
Yes. Time is not linear in the crypto dome.
Yeah. Take that, space-time.
Aggressive. Adversarial. Email me if you get that reference, and you can win a prize.
It's a good one. the thing that's not talked on with people talking about the planetary alignment with the sun and the earth and the black hole is we're supposed to be really close or getting closer to the middle of the universe, the little equator that I'm always ranting about.
Galaxy or the universe?
Galaxy, excuse
okay.
me. Did I say universe?
Anyway, yeah.
Galaxy. The middle part of our little arm that spins around the galaxy.
The ecliptic.
Yeah,
the ecliptic. I love that word.
Yeah, that is a good word.
Speaking of, this might throw a monkey wrench into your alignment works, but the ecliptic of our solar system relative to the ecliptic of the galaxy is perpendicular. So it's 90 degrees.
I think that would just cause more chaos.
But it prevents the Earth from actually aligning through the sun with the center.
I get what you're saying there.
Because it would always be like a kink in your line.
It would be like a big L.
Right. But I think that's a better arrangement, because if a gravitational wave came from the center, you would more easily observe the effects.
Yeah.
So you'd see an oscillation in the orbits of things, like moons.
Yeah.
Also, a point was brought up to me somewhere along the internets. If it takes 1 year for the Earth to orbit around the sun, and the sun is orbiting around the galaxy at some huge distance, every year the Earth would reach whatever alignment you're looking for.
Yeah, but the thing about that particular alignment is our solar system, the sun and all its planets with Earth, go up and down in kind of this sound wave motion.
A sinus wave?
Yeah, so they go, like, you know, it's like diving into water, and then when you come back up, instead of just sort of bobbing at the surface, you dive into the air and kind of do this, you know, dolphin motion.
Since the main affecting factor in that would be the density of material in along the ecliptic,
which could be pretty dense,
which it would be of the degree of star systems.
Mm-hmm.
Would the place to actually look for effects might be the heliosphere,
mm-hmm.
where Voyager 1 is right now.
Yeah. I don't know how we can get the message to NASA to tell us that sort of thing.
Well, supposedly they're checking the instrumentation at regular intervals. Or rather, the probe is sending them data at regular intervals.
But are they sending us that data at regular intervals?
At least some of it. Because they've been publishing about the heliosphere and...
You gotta throw little bits of meat to the dogs.
I'm cool with it.
What else is happening? What else is happening?
So, I wonder what it would be, because the heliosphere is like the region where our solar wind meets solar wind of other stars, in essence. Just sort of like pushing on each other.
Do you think they could make like a solar wind tornado or whirlpool?
Well, I read an article recently about something called the magnetic highway, and they're observing lower energy particles easily leaving the solar system and higher energy particles easily coming into the solar system, if only on the very outside of it. The heliosphere. I don't know if our solar system includes stuff that's beyond that, like the Oort cloud or whatnot.
Well, I'm sure as our understanding grows, so does our map of our solar system. I mean, how long did the map of the world stay without the United States or even the Americas? Like, it was just...
Well, I think first it was there, and then it fell off for a while, and then it got added back in circa 1492.
Ah.
But I can't quite verify
that. Okay, so maybe some past culture knew about the heliosphere well before we knew about it, but they had something bad happen. Maybe a solar flare.
I think that'd be so cool.
Technology.
Like, we get our warp drive figured out, and we go out and do archaeology in space on us.
Yeah, wouldn't that be wild?
That's like in the same category as figuring out panspermia is responsible for the human race, mm-hmm. and we're all descendants of Martians.
Yeah. Talk about a monkey wrench.
Monkey keyword. My ship is creaking.
That just means it's good.
That's right. It's the pressure of space. You see, the Cryptodome is what I like to call the spaceship of the imagination. And it can withstand myriad pressures from water to heliospheric. To volcanic, even. We're reporting to you from deep within the Earth's core.
It's crazy hot down here.
We got the baller air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Swamp coolers. Bunch of ice and some water in front of a box fan.
Swamp gas reflecting off feet. Venus?
Yeah, that too.
Now, oh, did somebody bring a cat in here?
Let's see. So, I'm pretty sure that nothing's really going to happen. I mean, there's lots of speculation, but I'm more worried about the economy and food in 2013.
Yeah, I'm feeling a definite desire to be as self-sufficient as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, check this out. Because of the drought last year and the drought the year before that, we pretty much have no room for error in the United States here this coming year in 2013. So if everything goes perfect, yeah, okay, that's 1 year down. But if something bad happens, the drought continues, maybe we flood this year instead of a drought. Maybe
which is equally destructive to crops.
Locusts or some weird thing like that.
Oh, don't say that. Mormons can't be right.
Yeah. But one more boo-boo, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think we can probably stave it off a little bit using import-export type stuff. But I don't think enough food is produced in the world to certainly not to feed everyone.
Well,
maybe most of the first world.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I heard Scott on the Hyper Report quote some webpage, anyway, it was a while ago. Worldwide food reserves were at a 40-year low, and last time I checked, worldwide population was at an all-time high.
How does one reserve food?
I'm not quite sure, but I think it's more about, like, the how much is being produced
based on consumption. Yeah. So you're dealing with maybe a year or two of leeway, depending on how good refrigeration technology is. Whereas, like, an oil reserve can be 30, 50, 100 years deep.
Oh, yeah, check this out. I went to Cash and Carry, and I had $100 with me. I walked out of there with 140 pounds of food.
Sweet.
Yeah. So oats, rice, beans, water. What else?
Staples.
I got some pasta too. I'm pretty sure that stores a whole lot of pasta.
That'll last a while.
Yeah, that's what I figured. It came in this nice box instead of a bag. It was awesome. Cash and Carry. Or if you know you don't have a Costco membership or something like that. I actually have a Costco membership, but I went to Cash and Carry because I didn't want to have to go through all the bullshit.
Isn't Cash and Carry sort of like a grocery outlet?
Yeah. It's kind of like, well, the poor man's Costco. it's got the bulk food. It's not, you know, it's not even Western Family, but it's there. And the way I kind of see it, if it's going to be there, it probably hasn't been changed or, you know, gotten to by big companies yet.
I've heard some horror stories about Western Family, specifically regarding potato silos and, like, them sitting there for months and roaches running in and out of them.
Nowadays, it doesn't surprise me at all. Like, the world's a pretty gross place.
Well, like, do you remember the book The Jungle by Upton Sinclair about how awful the meat packing factories were in the turn of the century? Turn of the 20th century.
I didn't ever read the book, but I don't doubt it at all.
Well, it always encourages people to try vegetarianism for a little bit just because they're grossed out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if that's, like, the Western Family equivalent or whatever? I'm sure it's not just Western Family.
Yeah, like
horror stories from the potato silo.
Yeah. So unless you yourself are being self-sufficient, you have no idea what's happening to that food before it gets to you.
I'm really starting to think that. Like,
yeah,
I've never been much of a hunter or anything, but I'm starting to think about doing that and,
yeah,
you know, growing my own stuff, like fertilizing it with fish that I fish up or manure or whatever that I harvest.
Yeah. Yeah, being self-sufficient. Props. We gotta do that.
I actually watched a documentary that was about that. It's a Werner Herzog. Werner. called Happy People, Life in the Taiga. And Taiga is in the middle of Siberia. it's like about a village of 300 people, and they're isolated like 150 kilometers around them to the nearest neighbor. And they happen to have a extremely low incidence of mental illness, hence the title Happy People.
Interesting.
But they live hardcore. Some of the guys they followed were trappers, and they'd boat up river in the spring, fix up their cabins, and then in the winter, the river freezes over, and they drive up it with a snowmobile, and they spend 6 months out of the year in the most bitter cold you've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, I think Suspicious Observer had a little clip of Siberia, and they're getting like 30 below, like the high is 20 below.
Yeah, that's just how they roll.
That's fucking cold.
Oh, and when it does warm up, it's mosquitoes, yeah, everywhere.
Dude, I'm sure. You must pray for cold when that happens. I hate mosquitoes.
I'd take the winter over mosquitoes any day.
Man.
And these guys were like, in one of the scenes, the guy drives up to one of his satellite cabins because they like do a circuit checking all their traps, and it's over thousands of square kilometers.
Kind of like The Deadliest Catch.
Another yeah, but probably what's safer because it's not the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
But he comes up to one of his satellite cabins, and a tree fell through it. Ugh. And there's like an hour of daylight left. He's just like, well, get to work. He cuts up the tree, and it takes him most of the next day to fix the roof back to normal, but he gets it all patched up before nightfall.
Man.
His dog comes with him, never rides in the snowmobile. It's like 150 miles up, or 150 kilometers upriver and back. Dude, the dog just runs it. They do it in about a day.
Both my dogs would be dead.
Yeah, yeah, they're that. Even the dogs are hardcore. Yeah. Everyone who stays at the village, like, is punching holes in the ice and doing huge fishing nets and catching huge pike.
Feeding the village.
Everything is self-sufficient, though, because they can't get anything. The weird thing is that it seems to appeal to me.
Yeah. Is there a place that's warm that's like that? No.
You're looking at, like, jungle shit, and that's got other dangers. Yeah,
even almost too warm.
You could go stake a claim on some unmapped tributary of the Amazon.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Except one day some weird-ass cartel guys come by, beat your ass. Because they were using it to smuggle heroin. Or cocaine. Whatever.
I guess you got communes here in
yeah,
the States.
Here?
Well,
there's a few, but
not a lot.
That's almost like buying into a price club, though.
Yeah, nowadays, yeah. Because you gotta get the land, and then you gotta get the people.
That's the hard thing. Yeah. Like, if I turned every square meter of land I have access to into gardens, I still doubt I could feed more than 2 people for a year. It's not like there's a lot of community gardens out there. We should start turning our parks into farmland, maybe.
No, there's a... I think it was... Where was that? There was some guy had, like, a vegetable garden in his front yard, and the authorities came and told him to take that shit down.
What?
Yeah, like, and they wrote him a ticket and everything. It was...
Like, the claim being that they're driving down property values or
some
bullshit?
Yeah, some crazy like that. Like, this isn't an authorized plant to have in your front yard.
Okay.
Man. Come on.
I'm going to pipe in my power bypassing the grid and have a whole bunch of indoor shit. Like a dope growing operation, but tomatoes and zucchinis.
Real eatables.
And when they knock on your door, dude.
Man, I got the most chronic shit, brother.
Come on in and check it out, man.
fucking 1,000 watts. Look at the size of this pumpkin. You can't get this outside.
Dude, you could grow giant pumpkins indoors and just freak out everybody.
That'd be wild. How would you couldn't get it out of the room. You'd have to destroy it in the room.
Well, the seeds are worth like a couple $100 a piece, as I understand.
Really?
For a prize-winning one.
Oh, I guess that's true.
And that's what they do, like, at the fair. They cut it up because they don't want to haul it out of there.
They sell the seeds right there.
I would.
Man, that would be a nice extra little income if you could actually get the prize winning.
An interesting money-making venture.
Yeah. I mean, you could sell it to the people that are at the fair. You know, hey, there's a prize-winning seed, $50.
Even if it didn't win prizes, you could sell giant pumpkin seeds to people for like an order of magnitude less than there were, or than a prize-winning one would be worth.
Actually, I sell those at the garden shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen some online myself.
Mm-hmm. Like $2.99 for like 5 grams, I think.
Of seeds?
Of giant pumpkin seeds.
Yeah. So that's like 3.5 seeds.
Something, I don't know.
They're pretty big.
Yeah. But they're light too. Pumpkin seeds are real light.
Shit. I was gonna say something and it slipped out of my mind. State-dependent memory.
The Cryptodome has that effect on people. Let's see. Is there anything else happening in the world today? Well, there was some flooding. Not here in the States, but over in Sri Lanka. Quite a few.
I believe it's a rainy season right now.
Yeah. It's been like, I think like 4 straight days of rain. Or something wild like that. And it doesn't show signs of, like, quitting.
It's like, you seen Forrest Gump, right?
Yeah, not a long time.
One day it started raining and it never stopped.
Yeah.
Bubba. So, fade out, fade into segment 2.
The sun is remarkably quiet right now.
I've noticed that.
Yeah. And it's like really active on the reverse side where we would be getting pummeled if it was summertime. Because we'd be on the other side of the sun, you know, 6 months down the road.
I wish we could figure out how that can be predicted.
Yeah. Solar tsunamis and crazy shit like that.
If you look at the different pictures that they publish from the observatory, whatever it's called, it almost looks like a ball of liquid.
Yeah.
It sort of undulates and
ripples and whatnot.
But it's more controlled, like the old thing that you do with oil and water to entertain little kids.
Hmm.
Or like when you float booze on top of other booze in a shot, a fancy shot.
Yeah.
High pressure.
Oh, it's wild. The sun's wild. You know, like, that's, our sun is actually a really small sun, but
yeah, it's a main sequence star, so it's like medium small on the grand scale.
Yeah. There are stars that just dwarf it in size.
So, on one of the episodes we recorded recently, in terms of our linear time, but not in terms of Cryptodome time, we talked about the comet and the satellite that collected a sample from it.
Mm-hmm.
That satellite was later used to conduct another experiment that I just watched a thing about. And the results were, we launched another satellite and it shot a projectile into comet Temple 1.
The tail?
No, into the actual nucleus.
Huh.
And the results were not quite what was predicted. And the video I was watching was asserting that there's an electromagnetic component to comets.
I think Suspicious Observer actually talked about a little bit like that in, I think it was the Star Water episodes.
Whoa, Star Water.
Yeah.
Well, this actually went into the generation of water because of an interaction of these two. Like, you have a lot of positive particles coming from the sun, and the comet is supposedly negatively charged. And the interaction of that is energetic and forms water in the coma of the comet, the gas that surrounds the nucleus but doesn't form the tail.
Yeah.
Which then condenses on the surface. And when they took pictures of this comet, they were expecting to see a pretty smooth object, as you'd think if it was just a ball of ice getting torn at by the solar wind.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very detailed, more like an asteroid. And there's all these apparent impact craters. But if you use this electromagnetic theory, they're formed by arcing plasma on the comet's surface.
Whoa.
Like lightning bolts blasting pieces up. And that interaction forms the vents that form the gases of the tail.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's apparently supported by the projectile they shot at it, because it, in the electric theory, it would have an interaction just before impact, which is just like a giant flash of light.
Hmm.
And then it hits, and just it spews out a little bit of matter. But since it hit that electromagnetic barrier, it started to get blasted apart well before it hit anything solid.
Hmm. Interesting.
So yeah, we're making weird ball lightning on comets.
Fuck yeah.
And if you tried to harvest one, you'd probably run into some fucking trouble. Try to jump down on it and it's just a bunch of lightning hitting you like a little plasma arc.
Yeah.
Like standing underneath the harp array.
Dun dun dun. Dun, dun. Dun. Oh, damn, I forgot what I was gonna say now.
I hate that.
Oh well, wasn't that important.
It'll come up.
Yeah. Speaking of harp, Suspicious Observer has a good video called I Am Harp. That's got a lot of cool stuff in it. Check it out.
I haven't checked it out. Do you want to summarize it?
I can't remember all the stuff he packs in his videos. It's too good. You just gotta watch it. I don't recommend watching it now, but it's only 4 minutes. You know, it's up to you. It's definitely informative.
Well, is it controlling the weather? I watched the conspiracy theory about the harp.
It doesn't really talk about what harp is. It talks about how we are basically little tiny harps.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're little and radio antennas, or
pretty
is
much
something more metaphysical?
The radio antenna was a good analogy. It starts off with Morgan Freeman talking, and I think it's taken from it's called, like, Through the Wormhole. It's on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. It's anyway, also on Hulu, I think.
Yeah. So, he's talking and he's saying how your thoughts actually project, and they go through, like, basically what we're talking about now, how we're thinking is going to get to the listeners, and they'll think about it, and it'll go hanging around and bouncing around, but the thoughts project all the way out to the end of the universe.
Except these cords that we're sending our thoughts through, we have to do a digital to analog to digital conversion.
That's where it gets choppy.
The first digital being our brain. I doubt that would be actually seriously digital.
Bio-digital.
But I don't know if speech is truly analog either.
It's all vibrations. Harmonics. That's kind of what the I Am Heart video touches on.
I hate to get new agey.
I'm gonna jump onto the internet.
But, I uploaded a video a while ago. If I can get to my videos. Stand by. If you listen to the Shaolin monks in this classic Shaw Brothers Kung Fu, it's exactly what we were just talking about. Chamber first, because he is the best.
Foolish young warriors.
I like Buddhism's way of dealing with hubris.
Teacher, the Buddha tells us that in the great infinity beyond all the nothings is the emptiness of the eternal five. Sight, sound, smell, feel. The five flavors dull all the taste. The five tones deafen every ear. The five colors,
they all blind the eye.
But they do not pass.
They are all eternal.
All things come to us.
Without
doubt.
He fucked up.
Without wisdom, no gain.
Yet gain must end. All men will be one. For there lies true peace.
And happiness too.
It is invisible and inaudible and quite infinite. And you all hear the sound of bells.
Emptiness is sound. We hear nothing.
So may you be deafened by our five tones.
It's pretty interesting.
The five colors. Red, yellow, blue, black, white. Warp core breach! Coolantly!
Ah, good.
Oh, good job, Jordy. You too, Reg Barkley. And Ensign Leffler.
Probably, I think Barkley was probably, or not Barkley, but O'Brien was probably down there somewhere.
O'Brien. Was he?
I think he was at the beginning.
Did you know he didn't even have a name in the first season?
Oh, that's a bummer.
Or is it? He poured himself into the role, and look. He was on, 14 seasons of Star Trek? Yeah. Though not in every episode of TNG.
He's a pretty developed character.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially when you get into Deep Space Nine. Him and Worf.
Yeah, he does a good deal of the stuff on Deep Space Nine. He's the one who always gets tortured and shit.
Yeah, he's the chief engineer. He's like Geordi, only on Deep Space Nine, isn't he?
Oh, Geordi does get tortured a lot, doesn't he? And he turns into a weird beast thing. Poor Geordi.
Blind little Geordi from Reading Rainbow. The of our burden.
There's always somebody who gets fucked with the most.
There has to be. It's just the story.
Chekhov. Jordy.
O'Brien.
And Harry Kim. I heard that he always got fucked with because he tended to show up late to the set and very stoned. That kind of makes Voyager better for me.
Yeah. Way to go, Kim. Whatever your real name is.
Garrett Wang.
Good job, Garrett.
Oh, Voyager. Bad. Especially the end. Should have been Data in command, damn it.
No guts to keep him out of that crazy mess in the first place.
And then he wouldn't have had to die in Nemesis with clone Picard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Younger clone Picard.
Yeah, with the weird congenital thing that gives him headaches or whatever.
Yeah.
If you shine lights on him. They never mentioned that in anything. So Picard has some weird birth defect and he has no heart.
So Picard's pretty banged up.
Yeah. Yeah. All Kirk lost was his hair. And Janeway, well, Janeway took a beating, but I never felt bad about it.
Yeah. Well, she got him lost in the, what was it, Alpha Quadrant? Or is it the Delta Quadrant? We're in the Delta Quadrant. Are we in the Alpha
Quadrant? No, Alpha Quadrant is Earth. We're first. We're in the center of the universe.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Duh. And, yeah. Yeah, because Deep Space Nine is the Gamma Quadrant. I don't know how this relates to anything, especially the Mayan apocalypse. But sometimes you gotta just digress on Star Trek.
Let it flow naturally.
This is stream of consciousness shit. You gotta get on it.
But as we pointed out earlier, Worf predicted 9/11.
Yeah.
We just gotta figure out the code of Gene Roddenberry.
I was watching a thing earlier. It was Neil deGrasse Tyson and I can't remember his real name right now for some reason. Will Wheaton. There it is. Wesley Crusher. And they were just having a nice discussion, right? And about all kinds of interesting things. And one of the things that Will Wheaton pointed out was this kind of paradox that's forming where people invent technology shifting items that were inspired by their childhood love of Star Trek, but that's not how it sort of came to be in the Star Trek universe, or is it? Who knows?
Well,
so what I'm saying is there is a direct correlation between reality and fiction, perhaps especially Star Trek.
Well, yeah, like, I heard that, you know, the Bond movies that would come out back in the day would pretty much be all fictional, you know, as far as the gadgetry.
And then
whatnot.
They were like, oh, maybe we can figure out how to do
that. Yeah, and then, like, the CIA, some guy watched a Bond movie and was like, man, that's really cool. So then they got their CIA gadgetry going and eventually made a scuba tank or something.
I've heard that after the fall of the Soviet Union, there's, like, not so much security, right? So occasionally American contractors will be, like, redoing some weird building in Russia or something, and they'll find recording devices in the walls that are from way back in the day.
Weird.
And these things are in tall buildings, right? And they're powered by the swinging of the tower in the wind.
Whoa. Like a gyroscope type of thing?
Yeah. To run a reel-to-reel recorder, of all things.
How? Wow.
Yeah, just the momentum must have been dragging a magnet back and forth or something.
That's not a bad idea right there.
But probably only power something fairly low voltage.
Well, you know, if you had it on a pretty...
We have LEDs now. We don't need voltage anymore.
And, you know, if it's hidden in a wall, it wouldn't be that big. So you could put it in every wall, power one thing per room. You know, that add up over time, especially in a skyscraper.
Well, it has to be a skyscraper so that it has an actual
rock.
Measurable swing.
Yeah. Attach a few batteries to that thing, you know.
There you go.
Save up some juice for those non-windy days. Maybe a solar panel or two on top.
It'd be great if you could, say, put something in your floor that reclaimed the energy that you put when you walk on it.
When you step on it, that's pretty sweet. I heard...
Or the warmth of your dog laying on it.
No, that's pretty cool.
Although it'd probably suck the heat out of him.
A while back, I was ranting about... you know, if they ran, like, lukewarm water through the roads, it, you know, it'd probably help on, like, freezing conditions. some dude over in Idaho is, he's working on a kind of asphalt or, like, a coating that you'd put over the top that's supposed to be kind of like a solar panel. And it's also supposed to generate heat. Basically do the de-icing and
like conductive asphalt.
Yeah, and you could like place like LEDs in it to power them. So like
I think I've seen an example of that.
Yeah,
it's like LED paint.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That's fucking weird.
Be like driving around on an airplane strip.
Yeah.
I've also heard of ones that reclaim energy from cars skidding along them.
Well, you know, there's a lot of heat with car tires.
Yeah, you just have to turn heat into voltage somehow.
Yeah.
A collector. Current. I saw another one. It's a new solar technology that they're testing that uses plants. Like, you plant these electrodes in the soil, and it generates voltage based on the area of plant roots doing their thing. So you can have a living solar cell of sorts.
Kind of like the potato that powers the clock, eh?
Yeah, the exact same principle, but using probes in the soil.
The living plant instead of just the energy left in the potato.
Yeah, in that potato that's been on the floor of a silo for years and just... Ugh.
But
well,
yeah.
They deep fry the shit out of most of them, so no problem.
Yeah.
You can eat anything if it's fried.
And, you know, like, there's a certain amount of rat meat that they have to allow for, like, hot dogs.
And hoof tissue.
I like hot dogs, too.
What?
They're cheap at Costco.
Just gonna start packing my own sausage.
Raise their own food. Chaotic experience you can't do in the city.
That documentary I watched, the guy went on a little rant about how he didn't like farmers, like cattle ranchers and shit, because they raise the animal to have affection for them, and then one day they get a bullet in the head when they're trotting up to you thinking they're gonna get a sugar cube or some shit. And he compared it to his lifestyle of trapping things, and like, they all know that no good can come from man.
Most animals do. So I think
it's like
you
an honorable
the,
kill.
You brought up the Joe Rogan thing about the horses knew to just, you know, let us get on their back.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Get on.
The bulls tried to fight us, so we killed and ate them.
Yeah, so we don't even stop there. We cut their balls off a lot of the time and eat those too.
Yeah.
And they just get to trot around emasculated until one day stick. We eat their babies too. Fatten them up.
Veal. You know, a hamburger has something like, I think it was like 10,000 different strains of DNA.
Oh, God.
Because it's just a big vat of meat.
Yeah, because you don't know how many cows go into each one.
Yeah, and like...
And it could be any part of any of them.
Yeah, because it's just a certain kind of DNA. Like, a certain strain of DNA is for each one of them.
All right, fuck. That is way, way more nightmarish than running out into the forest and shooting a deer and gutting it and eating that for a year. What the fuck are we doing?
We're supplying the masses.
I'm with this trapper guy, I think, that lives in the middle of Siberia and wants for nothing.
Oh, it's so cold.
You get used to it.
I don't know if I can. I can't even get used to this.
Just think of it's Immigrant like Song by Led Zeppelin.
You're coming from the land of the ice and snow.
Well, we're at 11 o'clock, and the world's still here.
That's where 2012 is rolling out pretty nicely. Although, what about the timeline? Have you ever heard about that?
The timeline?
Was it Mitch? Terrence McKenna?
Time Wave Zero?
Yeah,
the I Ching?
Yeah.
I've heard criticisms of it that pretty much disregarded it entirely. But it is interesting how it stops there. But the I Ching is really old, and it's based on some derivative of it. My level sounded a little weird. Anyway, yeah, the Time Wave Zero and the I Ching by Terrence McKenna. Well, the I Ching is by him. But that's really old. And maybe the Mayans figured something out mathematically, and because that's where their stopping point is, and the whole thing restarts there.
Well, you know, the Bakhtuns, I'm pretty sure they were meant to signify the ages.
I think they had some astronomical significance.
And the going into the 21st is supposed to be the dawning of a new age. And this one's supposed to be it's supposed to be the age of Aquarius, and I'm under the impression that it's supposed to be a very bad time for existence, or a very turbulent time. Pole shift. Hey, it's supposed to be about, you know, 200,000 to 300,000 years between pole shifts, and it's been about 780,000 years since our last pole shift, magnetic pole shift.
I think that would put us about due. They say they're supposed to take years and years to complete, though. So I'll be interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's a map of the magnetic poles moving around, and you know, it kind of does a little wander from, like, 1650 all the way up to 1995-ish. But right about at 1995, it starts and just takes off and goes pretty much straight towards Russia.
Yeah, that was on a Suspicious Observer video. That... It does accelerate really fast. That would seem to indicate something's going on. But also, from what I've read, it can get so chaotic, like there can be multiple North Poles, on where you are, that we could see it go back and forth for maybe generations. Which would be kind of interesting.
Have you ever tried to break a credit card by bending it?
Yeah, I think it kind of just folds, right?
Yeah, you fold it for a while, and it eventually it kind of tears itself. You know, but you have to fold it for like 10 minutes or something. Anyway.
And then it reaches a breaking point.
Right, right. I've seen a lot of the videos of the magnetic sphere getting hit with the, you know, the solar winds and the CMEs and all that crap from the sun. And it's definitely in a weakening state. That's been said by, I think, the mainstream media. Anyway, I can't help but think, like, all the hits that it takes from the sun are definitely accelerating.
Constant interaction.
Yeah, so...
I mean, the Aurora Borealis has been observed for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been pretty eventful lately.
I don't know, like, if everything that's happening, the weakening and the hitting from the solar winds will eventually cause it to flip and then maybe restart, or if it's truly just going to disappear soon.
The pole?
The magnetic sphere. Because the poles are kind of part of that.
The magnetosphere. The stuff I've seen seems to indicate that it would form like clumps that are like...
Well, during a flip, yeah, it's going to...
But then when
it'll be real chaotic, and then it'll have to average
you
out.
You think after
like
it finishes, it'll just not have any more oomph in it?
Or it'll be back to being the way it was when it was fully charged. Like, it's just, it's gotten so much stress, and it's just, it's trying to hang on, and trying to hang on, and trying to hang on, and then finally the last hit makes
I think
it
I know
release,
what you're saying.
And it...
I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
So... At that point, it can either flip, or it can disappear, or it could. It's fading, but what if a big hit hits, and it can't recover, and then we turn into Mars?
I think I like the idea of it getting super juiced up,
yeah,
better,
yeah,
even if all the compasses point backwards now.
Well,
that I can get used to.
Doesn't the compass point to the easiest pole? So if you actually took a compass that you got here,
well, it's
America,
aligned to the magnetic field because it's magnetized.
So if I took a compass that I got here and went down to like South America, it'd still point north, not south.
I think so. Better check that one. That's a tough one.
It probably still would point north, but I don't know. I'm questioning a lot of stuff since I've heard you say that the water going to the easiest ways instead of counterclockwise here, counterclockwise there.
All right, it does flip.
So the needle would point to south? The red,
right, the red would be pointing south.
Instead of north.
That's such a kind of a... meh thing, because you'd know you were in the southern hemisphere just by looking at the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Or hopefully looking at the ground, even.
Yeah. So if a magnetic pole happens, we probably won't even realize it unless we had some way of watching a compass freak out for like a day or two, because there's like 9 north poles. And then averaging back out.
It's did like you ever see that movie Predators?
Yeah.
And they're on the planet, and the chick's
spins.
Like, check this out.
Do you want to see something fucked up?
That's... I think that's how it would be if there was multiple poles due to some kind of fluctuation in the field.
Because it's been tugged on every which way.
I think in the movie they were on some moon, so who knows what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
In that comet video, they showed a picture of one of Jupiter's moons doing the same thing, and it was just like a giant arc of plasma shooting straight up from almost the north pole of the moon.
That's scary. What if Earth did something like that?
Well, we're not orbiting a huge gas giant.
Well, that's true, but
oh shit, what if it's like 2010 and Jupiter is just like a baby star, so to speak?
slowly gathering energy.
So then the sun's the same thing, so then just the right conditions set off, and the northern ice cap flash melts because a huge bolt of lightning engulfs it. That sounds like some Thor's hammer shit.
Yeah, yeah.
They might be aliens.
We just don't know.
Not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens.
You know, Ancient Aliens is supposed to have a fourth season.
That's on the History Channel.
Well, I think the new season's gonna actually air on the History 2.
Still, that part of that's so speculative.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's all about the way we interpret things and the way that they had to interpret things. And I honestly kind of find it more believable than a lot of the religions, like that some mythical god came down, or was it just an extraterrestrial visitor that happened to have, you know, a ray gun?
True.
I'm kind of leaning towards the ray gun.
But I'd even go so far as, like, what if it was some relatively isolated pocket of civilization, human civilization, that just advanced faster than everybody else?
No, we
and can. Then they set out and, like, hey, you have a stone sword, I have a gun. A couple generations later, that's, he shot fire from his fingers. His voice boomed because he had a bullhorn.
A big cannonball.
The heavens parted.
Does that mean a plane landed?
Well, a big explosion can, like, instantly push clouds and shit. Like, so maybe something stuff. Like that. Yeah. I heard some completely unverifiable claim that there's a layer in the geologic record that's very similar to what happens when you detonate a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, I think that was on Ancient Aliens.
Ah, okay. I knew it was unverifiable.
But, the glass or the sand has been melted in the same way as when the atomic bombs went off, and it's in some weird old-ass country.
Well, you know,
that's never seen a nuclear bomb.
If you look at Chernobyl, there's a whole bunch of wildlife there. They're, like, bears live in the buildings, they say, and wolves. It's because they don't give a fuck.
Well, they don't know.
There's no humans there, ever. Nothing hunts anything there. And it's bounced back.
A natural wildlife reserve.
Yeah, that's what they've kind of made it. They even introduced these horses there that are the last wild relative of the ancient horse ancestor.
Well, hopefully all that radiation will ramp them up and they'll get to breeding, so they won't be, you know...
A lot of the animals, it doesn't seem to bother them, because they don't live 80 years, so they don't get tumors like that.
Yeah. It's weird how, like, rats and mice get tumors a lot.
It's weird how that is absolutely true, plus they seem to be able to withstand tons of radiation, because they're everywhere.
This is a strange world.
We need some kind of nanobot radiation shit.
You know, nanobots kind of creep me out.
They say that's the next step. Maybe that's the new age. We're going to go from the information age to the we're one with Google age. I'll skip that. I would make robots that would, keep my DNA intact, though. Like that of a 25-year-old, maybe? I don't know.
That'd be pretty cool.
Or set it just to slow down aging, so, like, you're 100 and you look like Aragorn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, that's... I'm telling you, I've mentioned it before, how Lord of the Rings and shit is just about... There's no magic there, just some guy with some future technology. Black Arrow guy has a carbon arrow.
Yeah.
Aragorn's got nanobots in his telomeres. And hobbits are just little people. LPs. You see.
I'm simply saying that life
finds a way.
So, wasn't it this year that, like, over in Tornado Alley, in one day they set a crazy amount of tornado record? Like, it was, like, 98 tornadoes in one day. Sometime this year.
Yeah. Weather's just been harsh in general. And I've seen quite a few things on YouTube about extreme weather becoming more common.
So, all the planets are heating up.
I've heard that too. We've observed auroras on, it was Uranus or Neptune.
Yeah, Uranus. That's scary.
Well, and since that one is pretty much tipped on its side, that's just one pole facing the sun all the time, getting blasted. Yeah, the polar regions seem to be more reactive to the energetic particles, making the auroras. That is some weird shit.
Yeah.
Some weird and wild stuff.
It's wacky.
I had this finger elongated. So, we are about at an hour. But it's only a little after 11. Maybe we should check back in 40 minutes, see if the world's still here.
neuroscientist would say it's just a pattern of electrical activity inside our brains. But if I scowl or smile, my thoughts can cross a room. In fact, they're reaching out to touch you right now.
How is this possible? Our brains put out electromagnetic waves, similar to any type of propagator, only much less powerful. Now, you can argue that some of these propagators are not as dangerous as some of the extreme theorists propose. However, the effect of certain resonances on matter cannot be denied. There's no hydraulics at work here, only radio frequencies. The truly significant effects of this type of technology is another topic for a longer video, but if you were to say, "I am HARP," you would not be totally wrong. Now, true enough, you do not have a large antenna array in your skull, at least I hope not, and your brain waves are nothing compared to the high-frequency signals that HARP propagates, nothing compared to the radio frequencies by a ham radio, even. But the fundamental wave structure, and the potential to affect the universe, even if only slightly, is exactly the same. Makes you wonder what would happen if we all tried to use it together. I am especially interested in the study of consciousness at Princeton University. Now, you may have heard about the Global Consciousness Project, and if I may amateurishly summarize its significance here, random number generators from all over the planet are linked to this site, and it has been proven that human brain waves can degrade the anomalous nature, the randomness, of that number generation. Now, a precise calibration allows these scientists to determine the effect of significant events on the human consciousness of the entire world. Now, this is the real-time electrogyogram, similar to raw data of an electrocephalogram of brain waves, only this shows a coalescence of global consciousness. Now, you can see there are different readings of significance here, including some ones all the way up to the present down at the bottom, but of particular interest is 9/11. Now, the black squares here are the plane impacts and tower collapses, and yes, you may have heard this before, it's true. The global consciousness began rising like they have never seen before, more than 5 hours before the first plane hit. This is something that they're finding more and more of as time goes on. Now, spider sense, psychics, intuition. Now, this is not entirely unheard of, although much muddled nowadays. Now, the use of the electromagnetic field of Earth is quite common in animals and nature, and you can't help but wonder if this is only the beginning of our understanding of it. Now, I must caution you in your search for truth in this genre. The path before you is rife with some self-serving, self-promoting individuals who may have valuable information, yet still only represent one viewpoint of your consciousness. Before I give my opinion, I want you to remember that your primary duty of discernment here involves separating the facts from the opinions, and then making your own. I believe each of us has the ability to affect things in the universe. Just like the electromagnetic fields and currents span galaxies and beyond, so do the waves propagated by the capacitors housed within each of us. Your thoughts right now are sending waves to the end of the universe. And in recognition of that fact, perhaps it would serve us to be cognizant of our own minds. All you have to see is this. You should realize that your thoughts affect
we'll
you,
post that.
How you feel. They affect others, and might even be able to give us warnings about the future. For $3 on iTunes, you can learn a little bit more about that. Now, this was meant to be an introduction into topics you might want to look into further. I certainly plan to do so myself. As always, the links are below. Be safe, everyone.
This is one of those things, like, your thoughts could be summed up as a series of electric signals, however significant you want to treat them. Electric signals are made up of quanta, and quanta can affect all other quanta in the universe. Form of gravity, in the form of we talked about it non-linearly coming up.
Man, I'm so confused.
You're not thinking fourth dimensionally.
I know.
Point is, if you have two particles on the opposite end of the universe from each other, they affect each other. Gravitationally, for example, eventually they will attract one another. Or, well, so the theory goes. But our universe is seemingly expanding.
Yep.
Yep. Some people like to think of our bodies as like an antenna for the soul in a new age kind of sounding shit way. But if it does work like that, and the universe is truly infinite, then when you die at the end of your life, wouldn't you instantly wake up whenever the next exact copy of you evolves in the infinite universe?
Yes.
So you can live forever, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you loop a bunch?
You probably don't remember your past consciousness, aside
right.
from, like, when you're a small, young child. Sometimes people talk about that, but...
Kind of like when Worf was slipping through parallel dimensions and all the Enterprises popped up.
Yeah.
No!
Back on the topic of Doomsday.
Okay.
Some people speculate that it's supposed to be like a mass awakening.
That would be fine by me.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool. But I don't know, what does that mean?
It could mean a breakthrough in technology.
Mm-hmm.
It could mean information will reach a certain point of saturation that everyone... Well, that's pretty hopeful to say everyone, but they would know a certain basic level of knowledge.
Thank you, Google.
Yeah, well, they are putting those laptops in Africa that cost like $20 to make or something, and they have a satellite modem in them.
Well,
so you can be out in the middle of the savannah and get online. And
so now, how much does the satellite contact run you? Or is that free?
It's a humanitarian effort.
Ooh, hey, I could use one of those.
Well, we can ask Google for a free Chromebook, I think. They were doing that for a while.
I think I'd be okay with that.
It's kind of like a tablet.
The tablets are cool.
Although you can put Linux on them. So yeah. You can probably put Windows on them.
Well, if it's an Android system, it's already Linux.
Yeah. I think they had to do some compatibility shit.
Probably.
But it's pretty much figured out, from what I understand.
Hooray.
Though, I still have a dumb phone.
Yeah.
But not a wall phone. Nobody has those.
I've seen a headphone jack like that you plugged into your phone, like the headphone and mic, and it was like a receiver for an old phone. The ear
like a big one. You know, with the weird shoulder pad thing that people would stick to the top of the receiver.
Yeah, like that. Except your cell phone was like the part that would normally sit on the desk with the numbers that you'd punch.
But why put an extra wire on your cell phone just to...
It's for the nostalgia and the retro factors, man.
To save you from the electromagnetic radiation that's frying your sperm. Wait, if you have that, you're going to leave it in your pocket. So more sperm won't get fried.
Yeah, and your phone will be on, it'll be closer to junk.
And then one day your battery will overheat and leak acid all over your thigh.
That will not be a fun day.
Or would it be acid?
Battery
Are
acid.
Lithium ions bad for you? Doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it sounds pretty bad. It sounds like it came from like a radiation chamber or something.
stepped into the quantum leap accelerator and vanished. We did quantum leap for one of the songs, didn't we?
Yeah.
Apparently related to that HARP video is Star Trek of Gods and Men. A fan-made Star Trek. So, it just keeps intersecting. We're using our global consciousness to materialize Gene Roddenberry's vision.
There you go.
George Lucas's vision.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's nearly impossible and entirely impractical to make a lightsaber.
Which is a real bummer, but yeah, it's true.
It's just like, what would that be? It's not like a tube. Could be like a... some kind of magnet thing, resonance. But then why not just have a death ray? Or would it, like, you turn it on and it just sort of poop out the blade? Be like one of those crazy snakes that, you, like, like the peanut jar thing explodes in your face.
Or like the proton pack.
Yeah, so that was just shooting raw protons at them?
I guess so.
Sort of like solar wind?
Sure.
So maybe that's what's happening on the sun. It's the streams are crossing, and,
bad things are happening.
A complete... What does Egon say? Complete nuclear... reverse something or...
An Egonism. Complete reversal of the space-time continuum.
I saw an interview with Harold Ramis. That's Egon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that there's going to be a Ghostbusters 3 eventually. But they're all getting pretty old.
They're all getting old, and they all have conflicting ideas about it. I don't even think Bill Murray wants anything to do with it, which is kind of a bummer, but whatever.
The interview I was watching said that Dan Aykroyd wrote the spec script.
Hmm.
So it'd be kind of like the Blues Brothers, right? A complete particle reversal. What does that mean? Maybe that's how they made Ecto Cooler. Tasted like orange juice to me.
We are slowly inching towards doomsday.
Yeah, it's 2 minutes to midnight.
Doomsday.
The hands that threaten
Good morning,
doom.
Folks. Some of these are city lights, and some are not. Wildfires burning
this
in west and north Australia. South of Australia took an unusual tremor, along with the western Indian Ocean off the coast of Madagascar. North in Sri Lanka, torrential rains have killed hundreds, left 175,000 homeless, and doesn't look like it's going to stop soon.
I think I'm going to compare this to the one that comes out in a few hours.
Parts of Russia and northeastern Europe are
like
devastated
hours,
by
right?
the cold right now. Combining national totals, hundreds
o'clock.
Are dying by the day. High temperatures in Moscow are about negative 20, Siberian nights at negative 50. West of that in the UK, a low pressure system is making landfall, bringing high wind and rain to much of that area. Cyclone Evan now just a blip on the map, not really even headed for New Zealand anymore, and even if Evan ended up in Oz, he exited Extreme 36 hours ago, still got your thunderstorm watches. Had a snowstorm hit Vancouver, dust storm in Texas, sky turned rusty brown in moments, you could even see it on radar. The real U.S. weather story, however, is Draco, dumped tons of snow across the Midwest, pushed wind speeds over 100 miles per hour in some locations. On the visible cloud images, it is very tough to see rotation, although it's close here. The wind map shows speed regardless of water vapor or lack thereof. Where the air goes north, we warm. Coming south, we cool. Out west, you can see the next movement coming in as well. So if you had to guess where the lows are, yep, that's how you get the counterclockwise helical motion. Here's your watch.
Have you noticed American news?
Well, folks, it is what it is. The backside is popping off, but Earth-facing flares are nil. Same for filament eruptions. Looking at the solar wind, at 0-100 hours UTC, we see the temperature, speed, and density of the solar wind rise slightly, but I do not think that is what's causing a return of the multi-line resonance. First, we had jumped to the baseline before, and when that ends, we almost always return to multi-line frequency first. Secondly, at exactly 0-100 UTC, this big low-pressure system moves just enough in relation to Gakona, Alaska, to put it in the way of some warmer air spun up from the Pacific rather than cold Arctic air. Temperature jumped 30 degrees pretty quickly. The wind speed, and more importantly, direction, changed, as I previously stated, and the barometric pressure hitch suggests a shift from cell to cell. Over to the sun, where shyness has set in. Even monster sunspots run and hide when they face Earth these days. Mr. Gerald, you can come down from the mountain now. This ain't happening by tomorrow, or the next day. Not unless the most wicked sunspot morphing we've ever seen takes place. I guess that's possible, but I think you can expect to see this new... ...news for quite some time. We got dark coronal holes all over the place on the sun. Still got a few filaments as well. Lastly, for those still scared, still thinking it's coming down tomorrow and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, if something were coming, we absolutely could do something about it. You have no idea how powerful we are, but you can get a glimpse in my video, I Am Harp. It's linked below. Manifest peace and love tonight and tomorrow. You know, just in case. Eyes open. No fear. It's 6 a.m. Eastern time, and that's the news. Be safe, everyone.
Have you noticed American news never uses the names of these winter storms? They're just like, "Welp, it's snowing again."
Yeah.
Of course, they're all named Draco and Brutus and Caesar and Genghis Khan. I don't think we're at G yet, but I bet they'll do Genghis.
It's been a while since I've watched any kind of news aside from stuff like that.
I prefer this kind of stuff because it's more technical.
And there's
the sun stuff is just intense.
No squirrels on water skis and American Idol bullshit.
Yeah, and people trying to be cute.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Just say your shit.
Yeah.
This guy says it.
If we were to watch that same amount of information on your regular news, that would have been a half hour. No, this time it was 3.5 minutes.
And they would never go into that much detail. It would be 15 minutes of maybe half this information for the 15 minutes, then water skiing squirrel. Alaska jumped 30 degrees overnight. That's fucking... That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So it's 12:03, and we haven't vaporized yet. Damn. Oh, shit. We're in the DMT dream as we're plummeting into the singularity. Supposedly, you never reach the actual singularity. You just get torn apart and distorted.
Don't you get pulled and then crushed?
Yeah. You, like, stretched into a little filament that's, like, a few atoms wide.
I bet that's horribly, horribly painful.
That would be the same kind of thing that would happen to you, though, if you flew at a magnetar, a magnetic star. It's a neutron star that is a very specialized kind, huh. And it's the most magnetic thing in the universe, allegedly.
Weird.
Supposedly it takes an atom and stretches it out into a long filament, but it's still capable of, you know, interacting. If it can get through it, it could go back to a regular round atom. So, if our thoughts can make stuff happen, then we're getting warp drives, and, that's all I need.
Yeah, explore space. With that. Yeah.
A replicator.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be really nice. Would you... Do you think that would go in every room of the house, though?
Probably not at first. But eventually, it'd be like a TV, I bet.
So then you would never have to leave your room?
No.
And it wouldn't be like one of those death sentences, like when some Korean dude sits in a net cafe for 5 days straight and then has a heart attack?
No, it'd be more like confined to quarters, you know, in Star Trek.
I'll be in my bunk.
It's 12:06, and I'm getting kind of hungry, so...
Same. That's probably a good sign that we're still alive and not in a weird DMT dream.
Yeah.
So, we've made it into the 13th Bakhtun. Do whatever the proper ceremonies are.
Yeah.
And, thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
so you get to decide what's going to happen for the apocalypse, according to that last video.
How will this age play out?
It's real!